impeachment proceedings for Donald Trump have been a little bit like a Russian doll. Every time one issue is cracked open, another one pops in to take its place. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. If you enjoy what you hear on US of Ed each and every week, drop us a review, tell a friend, or give us a little bit of love on socials. Joining us from the City of Canals again this week, by the sound of it, all there is canals right now. Venice, lot of flooding going on. Ed, I hope you're staying dry.
Well, I am not underwater, but the water's right behind me, as you can see, and it's kind of the rising tide. Whether it'll take me down, I'm not sure, but I've got my swimmers with me.
Absolutely. Sounds like a good idea. Hey, mate, looking at the latest from out of the U.S. this week, impeachment, testimony from William B. Taylor, acting ambassador to Ukraine, ties Trump directly to pressure on the Ukraine to investigate Hunter / Joe Biden. An aide of Taylor's overhearing a phone call in which the president checked on the investigations. Anything new here as the investigation goes public?
No, not really. The investigation is what we expected. The earlier testimony was already transcribed, so there wasn't very much new. The witnesses were very credible. They worked for the United States government and not for Donald Trump. They said that. They said they worked in the interest of the American people, trying to keep the Russians out, and that this was really a very important mission. They were surprised, aghast, astounded by the reaction of the administration to have a Rudy Giuliani out trying to run a game on the Ukrainian government at the same time that they're trying to hold back Russians. Every day, Ukrainians are being killed by Russians, and here we were withholding aid. It was just a shambles. But again, the witnesses were credible. They are honest. The Republicans tried to discredit them, but that didn't work.
It almost feels like we're in this maddening position where you know Trump is guilty, I know he's guilty, Democrats know he's guilty, everyone knows he's guilty, regardless of whether they sort of agree on what to do about it or not. But Republicans are going to do nothing, and who knows what'll stick.
Well, it's all going to stick. The question is what they'll do to preserve his job, and this goes to the Senate. There's certainly some weakening in the Senate, and even if it passes by one vote, it still passes. The real weakening is shown in the polls. The election in Kentucky, for example, the elections almost everywhere else have shown the president can't carry the candidates anymore, and the possibilities of losing the Senate are real. Interestingly enough, Jeff Sessions is going to run for the Senate. And Jeff Sessions, although he's saying he's fully supportive of the president, when he gets in, he's going to have a big dagger, a long one. So this is going to be a very interesting bit. Now, the next thing we have to look forward to is what's going to happen with some other administrative officials that might testify. Surely, John Bolton has to be on the top of that list.
Yeah, very much looking forward to hearing what Bolton has to say. I mean, mentioning the other members of the administration, the White House Acting Chief of Staff, Mick Mulvaney, will he or won't he? He was meant to appear before the House. He didn't. He was going to join another Trump advisor in suing the House. Then he was just going to sue them himself. Now, no lawsuit, but he will follow Trump's instructions and simply decline to cooperate. What do you make of it?
Well, he doesn't have a choice at this point. Nobody else wanted him in their lawsuit. If he tried to run a lawsuit on his own, he'd have to take the money from his own pocket. So he's taking the easy way out, hiding behind Trump's skirt. Mulvaney, of course, is the one who put the dagger into Trump. And Trump can't wait to kick him out, but it won't be while this is going on.
And just a moment ago, mentioning, of course, John Bolton and the Ukrainian-Russia situation. I mean, it's almost a Russian doll of issues we see coming out of the impeachment hearing. There was one that didn't get as much attention this week. Testimony from an aide to the former special envoy to the Ukraine, Kurt Volker. Christopher Anderson, the name of the aide. Anderson alleged a naval freedom of navigation patrol was cancelled at the request of the White House because Trump saw a news report on CNN that framed it as being antagonistic to the Russians. He apparently called up John Bolton, had a bit of a kvetch about this investigation or this patrol. Now, this combined with some of the Ukraine stuff really underlines this fear Trump is working for the Russians.
Well, at least working with the Russians. Something is going on here that I just don't understand. Unless he sees this is a world in which he and Putin can divide it up, and they can be the kings of the world, east and west. It makes no sense. There's nothing the United States gains from cozying up to the Russians. And this may come out to be the big story in all this. It's coming out more and more that the Russians are pulling the strings, and the whole Erdogan visit this week, again, in support of Erdogan, a person that the United States has vehemently chastised. Both houses of Congress have condemned his actions. He's trying to do the Russians' work with the Kurds. This is not looking good. I think the American people are pretty much onto this, that there's a Russian in the house.
Roger Stone, Trump's former political advisor, his trial coming towards an end. I mean, can we just take a moment to appreciate how in any other presidency, the sheer number of people in court or going to prison as those who surround Trump would have already been devastating to their political legitimacy.
And Roger Stone, what a character. He's still playing the character. I don't know what character he is. He's kind of a Richard Burton, playing every role in Caesar and wild comedy at the same time. The issue here is whether Roger Stone was some kind of a contact with WikiLeaks sending information to the Republican Party. And it seems that he was, at least he was trying to through this guy Credico, but WikiLeaks used Stone as a vehicle to get the information to the Republican Party and into the public milieu. So I think that here he was trying to play a big man. That failed, but his fingerprints are all over what happened, and because he lied about it, he's going to go to jail. And he seems to be wanting to go to jail proudly. This is the most odd situation I've ever seen, the most odd trial I've ever seen, where the judge is kind of running the trial and the lawyers aren't. It's a weird, weird situation.
Deferred action for childhood arrivals, DACA, or the Dreamers. The Obama-era program, which protects some 660,000 undocumented migrants who enter the country as kids, has been under threat ever since Trump took the presidency. Now, this week, observers say the predominantly conservative Supreme Court could side with Trump in ending the program. Thoughts, Ed?
Well, if they side with Trump, now they've got 660,000 adults who are going to be campaigning against him all over the country and all their supporters. I don't know why Trump did this. This isn't even popular with his base. So it's a crazy action. Giving them a path to citizenship would be the smartest thing he could do. And why he's not doing it is really beyond me. I think Stephen Miller and some of the crazies in him, his staff, are feeding him a bunch of baloney that's making this a bigger deal than it is. Remember, the United States has 360 million people. It's $600,000 more make a big difference, particularly when these people are already paying taxes, have good jobs, and are good citizens, and now they're parents. So their kids have citizenship, and some of them will get a pass to citizenship through their own children. It's just, again, another bumbling, stumbling, dumb action by this president.
Also with the Supreme Court, some more positive news. They've declined to hear an appeal by Remington, which means families of Sandy Hook victims will be free to sue the gun manufacturer. Now, much like we talked about the lawsuit against drug manufacturers at the moment, this could really leave gun makers exposed.
Yes, and this is really good news. This is the cigarette kind of suit, where the cigarette companies paid billions of dollars, but also they had to change what they were doing. So the states will use this and the threat of these suits to make gun laws that basically outlaw the kind of firearms that have been used in these kinds of actions. And Remington and other gun makers are going to start thinking, maybe it's better to sell these guns to the ISIS or Al-Qaeda and get them off the American street.
Also, we talked last week about the Asia-Pacific trade deal and implications for the U.S. This week, Trump once again claims a deal with China is happening soon, as long as it's a good deal for the U.S. Now, it's unclear what the states are bringing to the table, although Trump claims China's supply chains are cracking. Is this one still on the back burner for the foreseeable future?
I don't think they have a deal at all. I think this is all Trumpy. That is BS. There's no deal going on. The Chinese actually are looking for other markets. The Chinese see Australia, they see the Pacific, the Belt and Road is their avenue. The United States, they got the United States by the short hairs now, and they're going to hold the United States there as long as they can. He has no deal.
And we don't usually talk much in the way of home affairs, but this week, well, Ed, while you've been dealing with floods, we've been dealing with fires here in New South Wales. We've seen catastrophic fire conditions, a serious escalation, and we're not even into summer yet. Now, linking the fires back to California, the situation in California, some causes would seem to be similar, but the politicians in charge are more interested in debating climate change and pointing the finger than really doing anything about it. Ed, do we need to wisen up?
Well, first, I've got a lot of water for you. I don't know how I could get it there. It might be environmentally poor to send all this water over to you. Clearly, even this water situation in Venice, the worst they've had in about 20 years, is representative of climate change. Now, what do we do about climate change? That's the real issue. What actions will we take? And the actions we take next are going to have to be pretty drastic, like moving people out of the woods, out of the hills, because they might, the animals that they take into the woods are directly related to these fires, and not doing the underbrush burning that you need to do is also related. And of course, the drought. So I can see what's going on, but it seems that if running for public office, you can't. And that's very sad.
US of Ed is produced in the studios of 2SER in Sydney. Help support the work we do by going to 2SER.com/support. Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest in US news and politics. Find us wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.